Welcome back. It is a sunny Thursday here in the Twin Cities.
It's not
area.
Thursday. It's Wednesday.
It isn't Thursday yet, is it?
No. No. Julia. Off to a good rollicking start already.
Well, that is.
You've been busy doing a top secret mission today.
Yeah. You won't even tell us.
You
who
won't
it's
tell
for.
Us a thing, but it involves somebody great.
And we're excited for you.
And we'll see.
You've talked so much about how good this is, and I said, "Is it Donny Osmond's
no,
going to be on?"
No, something different.
Oh, yeah.
Something different. It's a deep cut.
The ultimate
okay,
tease.
So I'm trying to. You know, we are in May. It's 2 months. The long and winding goodbye.
Someone told me we're tripping over dimes and nickels, and I wasn't even sure what that meant.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, you're tripping over dimes and nipples, I almost said. That would be more appropriate. But, yeah, I said, oh, yeah, we are, even though I had no idea what I was agreeing to.
Well, what does it mean?
I have no idea.
651-641-1071.
Yeah, that would be great, because all I'm getting is nickel and diming it, which is, you know, being
yeah,
stingy.
But dimes and nickels?
Yeah.
You're tripping over dimes and nickels, is what I was told. And someone else who's just tripping over, I guess, pennies is, the one and only Barbara Streisand is 82 today, Julia.
Oh, do you want a little gossip?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I can't. I can't. Okay.
Do you want to thank her for breaking the glass ceiling for women in the entertainment business? I mean, you listened to her for 5 months. She whispered all of her career,
Barbara
everything
Streisand,
in your ear.
She is, how old is she today? She's
82. So,
and Shirley MacLaine is 90.
They share
a birthday together. Aww, no, I love Babs.
Yeah.
I love Babs.
Here's another one of her quotes that reminded me of the snake jawline quote. This is something, maybe it's from her book, maybe it's from an interview, but it's from the mouth of Barbara Streisand. Doubt can motivate you, so don't be afraid of it. Confidence and doubt are at two ends of the scale, and you need both. They balance each other out. I love things that are indescribable. Like the taste of an avocado or the smell of a gardenia.
She really,
she waxes poetic.
Should we go back to the snake just for fun?
Yeah, let's play.
And I love the jawline of a snake. I wish I had that jawline. You know, some of the famous models have that great jawline. So I appreciate its beauty, but I despise its venom.
That is a complex answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a complex answer.
Okay, I did something today that I don't ever want to do again.
Oh.
We've become our own tech people in this new world.
Yes.
And I transferred a phone from a plan to a different plan.
Oh, no.
But they make you do everything. I had to eject my e-card, my SIM card. I was so nervous that the phone wasn't going to work. You do it all yourself. You don't go in anywhere. You take care of it.
You're telling us this story instead of paying tribute to Babs,
I am.
Your lady?
I am. Because
to Kvetch and complain
I'm
right
not
now?
Complaining. I'm just saying it's amazing. Now you don't even need a SIMS card in your phone anymore. I'm just telling you
that.
Oh,
really?
No, you don't. They have an E1.
Oh, God. What is that?
All I know. I did it.
Good.
I did it.
Nice. So,
scary, scary. I love Barbara. Okay, so here's the thing about Barbara Streisand. Her
get that out, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It felt good.
It did.
Yeah.
I was kind of proud of myself.
I'm proud
that
of you.
I was able to do it.
But it's
complaining and humble brag at the same time. I like it. It's something that
that's
I
a talent.
Do. It is.
You do it too.
I do.
Okay, so with the Barbara Streisand, her whole thing is she never gave herself a much credit because it didn't matter to her. You know, she let all those film producing things go for Star is Born to John Peters. She didn't care. He needed it for his ego.
Mm-hmm.
She really never cared. And she says, I hope women today, and she realizes it, notices it, respect themselves more than I did. I just always wanted to do the project and would figure out how to get it done. But my ego wasn't involved like all the men I worked for many years, which is why she got the bad rap. The press printed so many false stories about her. They would do false, you know, narratives on movies and go off because it was directed by a woman on things that if a man directed the movie, you would never hear of.
Right.
So just
she's seen a lot in her 82 years.
She has seen a lot and done a lot and started her own, you know, studio back in the 70s. She was a pioneer in so many areas. I mean, Dolby sound, is that the way you pronounce
Dolby.
It? Dolby sound, surround sound was first used on The Star Is Born.
Really?
Yes, the very first time.
Oh, I think you've told me that.
I did tell you.
Yes.
But her book is amazing.
Yeah, even her advice, the doubt and confidence, let those be your two things that that motivate you, is pretty sound advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She's in a league of her own, Laureen. Yeah. She is.
And Shirley MacLaine, there's a picture of her going around on Twitter of like a movie, maybe a Rat Pack movie she was in back in the day, and her hair is pink.
Oh, I love that.
I know. A lot of times people think all the pink hair is like a relatively new
from
thing.
From Pinky and Grace.
I mean, who knows?
In Grease, I mean. Pinky and Grease had the
hair. No. This is like early 60s Shirley MacLaine.
I understand, but you're saying people think the pink hair is more modern.
Yes.
She's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for the kind of the explanation. We were getting to what on Grease? The pink ladies.
Well, Frenchie on Grease had pink hair, if you remember. And Laura, you're frustrating me so bad. I've already thrown everything I possibly can except for the microphone at her.
But I mean, the string of sentences, I was just trying to get saying. That's all.
It's because I'm working on the other.
You're working on the top secret thing you can't tell us about that we're going to be excited about.
You will be.
And we're dying to know if
you will be.
Who it is.
I'm not going to tell you.
Ah.
I'm not telling. No, Frenchie was a character, one of the pink ladies on Grease, the movie, when the movie
came out.
Did
she have pink hair in the movie?
Yes. Yes. She had pink hair.
I just thought she was a pink lady.
And she dyed her hair pink. Pink. Beauty school dropout. No graduation day for you. Frankie Valli sang that to her after that. So anyway, she wasn't in love with her talents.
It's a rocky start for Barbara's birthday.
Really, it's a rocky start for a Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome everybody to a sunny Thursday. I'm like, what? Wait a second. Did we miss a day?
I don't want it to miss it. Well, that Thursday I wouldn't be here. Yeah.
How about the Timberwolves last night though, Grant?
Oh, that was a game. They're looking good. There's some excitement in this town. There's some positivity to finally latch on to.
Are they in the playoffs?
Yes, they're in the playoffs. They were a number one team all year. We ended up as a number three seed, but we are.
Yeah, I'm asking for all the other people who don't know either.
They won their second game of the playoffs.
This is the only second time in our franchise history that we've had a 2-0 lead in a playoff series, which is just it's a fun team to watch now. If I could give it any type of comparison, if you're a baseball fan, you know, like when the excitement and the roar of a home run comes and you're watching the game either at home or at the stadium. Think of that with this atmosphere at Target Center right now.
Are they sold out games?
Oh, sold out games. Yeah. And every time they make a three, every time they make a good play, you can feel it on TV. I went to the game on Saturday and I watched the game last night. And you could feel that atmosphere just as much in your living room as you can there. It's as fun of a team that we've ever had in this franchise, and it's exciting.
How mad is A-Rod?
Oh, who knows?
That he's not, you know, that he came to all these games for like 2 years.
Well, he was there on Saturday. He still owns part of the team.
He still does own. He's still the 36% owner. Remember yesterday I brought the story that Glenn Taylor now brought up, bought 2.6% to jump ahead of them. But this is all going to arbitration May 21st. So it's going to be going to court and it's all going to be settled, hopefully, at some point in time this summer.
Well, our brother station, Score North, declared this batch of Timberwolves to be the most confident team in the T-Wolves history.
Absolutely. It's the best team we've ever had. Even the 2004 team that, you know, was 20 years ago that went to the Western Conference Finals with Kevin Garnett, Sam Cassell, Latrell Sprewell, that team was great. But this team is not only great, they're exciting. They have a swagger about them, a confidence
that's good.
The best defense in the league, which defense wins championships. I hate to be cliche, but if you haven't tuned in yet, I fully recommend it. It's the second best reality TV outside of Bravo you can get.
There you go. I went over. I had a holding period before tennis at 9 last night, so I dropped in at my son's house.
Ah. Did they have the game on?
Well, only one was there, and I said, I promise I won't talk.
Did he believe you?
I did pretty good. And then I ran into, you know, Crunch later. A picture of him, the mascot picture was at Lifetime, and I had to send it to my kids. And I said, you know, my ongoing thing with my boys teasing him how Crunch remembers him.
Right.
So I had to take a picture. I said, he remembers you guys. And they just are like, Mom, leave us alone on this one.
I love it.
Leave us alone on this one. All right. So we do have a jam-packed day today. But why don't we take a break? I'm going to regroup. And be able to finish a complete sentence, I promise.
You're doing great.
When we come back, this is Lori and Julia on My Talk.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Lori and Julia on My Talk 107.1. Are we streaming? We have an app you can download and take us wherever you want. It's called My Talk.
Doing pretty good so far.
I got a note from Penny. We had a rough start if you're just joining us. Thank you for hanging out with us. From Penny. Mm-hmm. And I sent her back.
Is this what she's going to miss?
No. I sent her back a note and said, thank you for this, but I'm not going to tell Lori or Grant. But I'll tell you anyway.
Yeah.
So she said, by the way, Pinky had red hair. She was one of the pink ladies. But she did not have pink hair in Greece.
I didn't think so. That's what I was looking at. He was such baffled. I know. What movie did you watch? But when it comes to Greece, I've always deferred to your authority.
Usually, I'm good on it, but I think it's so funny.
You're misremembering what you remember.
Penny, thank you for this, but I'm not saying a word.
Yeah, do it, do it.
Just to save my sanity.
Well, along the lines of that, so Jerry Seinfeld is doing interviews because he co-wrote, and it's his directorial debut, this Unfrosted, this story about the Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
And he's giving interviews, and he isn't... He, in an interview with GQ, he's plugging his new movie at the same time as he's telling the GQ person that as far as movies are over,
I know
they're done.
He did say that.
Yeah, the movie business is over.
I saw that quote. And I didn't know what it was from.
And they're not culturally relevant anymore. This isn't as GQ. So I'm just like, Jerry, and the movie is not going to be in movie theaters. It's on Netflix on May 3rd. So maybe he was trying to say something that movie theaters, but Deadpool and Wolverine will have something to say to you, as well as many other movies, because I don't think movie theaters are dead.
Don't either.
I think people are happy to be back in the movie theater.
I agree.
And I think Netflix is like going, they don't care because they're not in the movie theater.
Exactly.
So just odd. But anyway, so I was glad to see he relaxed a little bit.
He probably thought it was Thursday today.
Yeah, maybe. And he was on GMA this morning. And his wife is one of the people, George Stephanopoulos' wife, Ellie Wentworth, is in this movie. He sounded way more excited with the GMA folks about his movie than he did with GQ. Grant?
In your first try as a director, and you really pushed yourself to direct
this. Yeah. Well, easier. when they said, do you want to direct it? And I go, well, that seems easier. I could just tell the guy what to do instead of telling the guy to tell the guy what to do. You know, that was the idea. But it's still a lot of work. But it was all fun. I mean, look at these people I had. Can you believe Hugh Grant did this?
Yeah, I see him right there.
He was Tony the Tiger.
Oh my goodness.
Megan McCarthy, Amy Schumer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan. Allie Wentworth is in it, right?
Yeah. Allie Wentworth has one of the biggest laugh in the movie because we have a scene where someone loses their life in a tragic Pop-Tart accident.
As one does.
It happens, yeah. And because of the heroism, he was buried with full cereal honors, which means we put milk and cereal into the grave. And Allie comes up and slices bananas on top.
He is funny.
He is.
And the guy behind has strawberries.
Oh, my God.
And then the
guy behind strawberries.
Right, I know. So you got to, I guess, take it. I think you always, because some of his self-deprecating humor doesn't always translate in print. So here he is talking again about Unfrosted, but talking about how, like, having Hugh Grant be in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Was there anybody that you wanted that you couldn't get for the movie?
Sure, yeah.
Who?
Well, there's lots of, you don't mention those names. You know, everybody's working. Good people are working all the time, and schedules are very difficult. But I couldn't believe the people that came onto this. Hugh Grant was the biggest thrill for me. I'm a giant fan of
his.
Had
you worked with him before?
I'd never met him before. And I like these English guys you know, nice shoulders, and they know how to drink, and, you know, they're funny, witty, you know, the Brits are very witty.
But you had worked with Allie before, George's
of
wife.
Of course.
How would they work with Allie again?
She's great.
And, you know, he also said, you know, you could tell that everyone was jazzed that he was there because Robin was there, Laura, Michael, George, you know, same thing yesterday when Zendaya was in.
Yes.
Everyone's like, whoa, we're all out here. And it's like the big family couch style. But they really were laughing their butts off talking
That's
to
what's
him.
Fun.
So I don't know. I haven't seen any reviews of the movie yet or anything. I don't know that we're going to see anything until maybe next week. So Chris Hewitt had an interview or a review today and on Challengers.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Three
yes.
out of four stars. So, because that opens, I believe.
Three out of four. All right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you hearing from the top secret person right now that you're
I've heard from four of them. Neil, the knitter. Okay. I asked him earlier what Barbara Streisand song we should play, and he said, "Don't Rain on My Parade." And I'm like, "Well, check, we already did that."
Okay.
Someone else is telling me they're here for our next guest. And Grant,
I had a phone call come in that they believe Frenchie did wear pink hair in the movie, and I have Googled here, and there are pictures of Frenchie with the pink wig on from the movie. So
Thank
there was
you.
At one point in time. In the movie that she did
thank
wear
you.
A pink one.
And I know she
calls,
did. So. Okay, thank you. And Penny and I are doing a funny exchange back and forth.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at her right here.
I knew she did.
Yeah,
at the beauty salon.
I know. She did, and she was in beauty school, and that's why that horrible song by Frankie Avalon that's on the album, Beauty School Dropout.
Yeah.
No graduation day for you.
Yeah,
look
nice.
At Beauty School Dropout. I'm going to be
name that actress. Name the actress
who played
Frenchie.
She's got a very high squeaky voice.
Iconic Didi Khan.
There you go, Didi Khan.
Mm-hmm. Any relation to James? No?
No,
it's C-O-N-N.
Oh, yep.
Didi Khan.
And a lot of ladies were dressed up at our one grease thing that we did at CHS. They wore the pink wig.
I knew there was.
And the pink, you know, her shirt. You know, the little blouse that had her name tag. over your one bosom.
Oh, yes. You know how that goes. Oh, gosh. Right.
I'm eating Pink Crow right now, and so Thank is you. Penny, who just emailed you.
I know. We've got a couple other ones saying you were right, Julia.
Yay!
Yay, after a rough start. All right, Grant's going to tell us about the traffic. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with an exciting pick, a very exciting pick from a very exciting author.
Go ahead, Grant. I got an update. She had three different hair colors. Red in the beginning.
Okay.
And then it accidentally dyed it pink at the salon thing. And then she had blonde hair at the end.
There you go.
You were on point.
All right. We've covered that one.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. And I think we'll do a couple testimonials today. Because one of the things Minneapolis Plastic Surgery offers that other places around the Twin City, to my experience, don't... is a free consultation. And that is so important because you get to go in and meet with the doc that you choose to talk about what you're going to have done, to feel comfortable, to make sure they're listening to you. And this is from Alicia, a testimonial. Went to a few different consultations, and as soon as I came to Minneapolis Plastic Surgery, I knew that's where I wanted to go. Dr. Jarvis was so easy to talk to. He made me feel at ease. His staff weren't cold. He loved everything. I loved everything about the surgery center. And that's another thing. They have their surgery center on site, and which the people there have worked there for years. They're wonderful. They do such good work there. Dr. Tholen, Dr. Jarvis, Dr. Singh, with over 40 years experience. Go to mpsmn.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
We are delighted to have back in studio. Is this your fourth book?
Third.
Third. Kurt Johnson is with us. Stephanie Hansen from The Weekly Dish and Stephanie's Dish. I was going to say wife, but you're the husband.
I am the husband. Yes. I'm the partner.
You're the partner. You're right. You wrote another crazy thriller novel where Las Vegas is a character.
Called The Outlaw Shuffle.
And your canoe adventure, The Barons, that we had you on, won the Minnesota Book Award for Best Novel.
Right.
Yeah, and the Golden Crown Literary Society's Best Debut and Best Fiction Novel.
I guess you got a career in this,
Kurt. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
And this one, you combined your love of RVing as well.
Yeah, it's funny. We took a similar trip in the COVID summer of 2020. We went out west, and it was kind of weird because, you know, the first stop was Deadwood in South Dakota. And, you know, they're acting like the virus doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And they're selling Trump merchandise and nobody's wearing a mask and everybody's going around smoking. And then, you know, go up into the hills there, and it's another scene because everybody's wearing masks, and you pass by somebody on a path, and it's outdoors, and they're all wearing masks, and they jump off the path for about 10 feet.
Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, it's just weird, and none of it makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you go further out west, and, you know, in the desert, and there's people living out of school buses and out of old ambulances and beat up vans.
I mean, you use that experience because The Outlaw Shuffle is set in 2020.
Yes.
Yes. during the COVID summer.
Yeah. And, you know, give people the setup because this is a wild story. I told you this morning, people need to wear a seatbelt when they buckle up for this ride. It's so
You
wild.
Came up with the idea during this.
I came up with the idea in 2020.
Yeah, during this RV trip.
I didn't start writing it until afterwards.
Okay.
But yeah, that was definitely the spark that, that got it all going. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's about a middle-aged or elderly woman that gets abducted out of an RV park. And, and that creepy guy that abducts her, really, he's just a widower that wants some company. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's a psychopath.
Is that what we have to resort to at some point in our life?
Exactly.
I'm just going to take and you that's, for a couple
you know,
weeks.
And a lot of it is about finding purpose and about loneliness when you get older. And so that's what it's about a little bit. And you want to find purpose in your life and you want to stay relevant, but you don't want to do a Giuliani either, you know, and get into a little bit of trouble. So at any rate, it's about a woman that gets abducted and then about this kind of ragtag group of people in vans and RVs that track them down through Instagram, Facebook and social media. Yeah. And then it kind of morphs into almost a Queen's Gambit kind of story about this woman and this guy that eventually they start playing Gin Rummy and eventually,
Gin Rummy is definitely a character in this book.
Absolutely.
Now, did you grow up playing Gin Rummy in all versions of it?
Not all versions. Okay. I played, you know, just a regular, you know, and then I played 500.
Right. 500. But there was like purists. Like when we grew up, it was Gin.
Right.
And then when you got a little.
Like 7 or
like
11.
Grandma, Grandma Lulu was Gin.
Right.
And then with friends, you could start playing 500 or Gin Rummy, where you would lay down and pick up.
Yeah.
Right, right. And then there's this whole thing with knocking, and I explain it in the book.
Yes, you do.
But when they do tournaments, they do it with knocking and points, and it makes it a whole different game. It doesn't rely as much on luck. And did a lot of research, and back in the 50s and 60s, Gin Rummy was huge.
Huge,
yeah. And poker wasn't. And so all the original poker players, you know, in the 70s and 80s that became famous in the World Series of Poker, a lot of them started off playing Gin Rummy.
Really?
Yeah.
And, and if you're a bridge player, did you play Gin Rummy or bridge is purist? Because bridge is such a big game.
That didn't cross over as much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, it was like Hollywood types and gangsters were playing Gin Rummy.
Yeah, I remember my parents having card parties that became dance parties, and they either played Gin or Pinnacle.
Okay.
And my mom would have bridge parties with the box chocolates, you know, all the bridge candy, they had a bridge mix.
Right.
If you remember that.
Yeah.
And it would, I feel like they all just drank booze and ate great candy.
Yeah.
And my mom still plays bridge, but she's 91 years old.
It's good for your brain.
So how'd you get how'd the gin come into the Outlaw Shuffle? Incorporating the game of gin as being really this other character and plot point in the book.
Yeah, I don't really know. This thing just kind of morphed along.
Yeah,
and you're every other author.
I wanted to give her a super, like all my characters have some kind of superpower. And her power was going to be good at games. And then that kind of Queen's Gambit came out. And I thought about that. Mm-hmm. And then it was the 1990s. And I'd played Gin Rummy. So it just kind of morphed into Gin Rummy. And then I did research and found all these old Gin Rummy champions that I talked to on the phone.
Yeah, that's so
and I
fun.
Went out and they still have a tournament in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's a little pathetic, but I went out and visited the tournament and talked to some of the players. So I did some research there. Yeah, it was fun.
Was this a fun book? It was a different experience. Your last one you wrote with your daughter, Ellie, The Barons. Was this more
I mean, they're all fun.
Yeah.
The Barons book was a little bit different because it just started off as a kind of a quiet book and it more from there. This one was just fun, you know?
Yeah,
and
I
had a lot of plot, a lot of plot twists and things going on. And it was just a fun book.
How do you think of these characters?
No kidding. Joe.
Yuli.
It's Kurt Johnson is with us with his latest novel, The Outlaw Shuffle, which book birthday it is today.
That's right.
How can people get the book?
They can go on Amazon. Amazon just released it today. So there's Just for the next 30 days, they could get it on Kindle for 99 cents.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that's kind of a deal to get people engaged with the book and start getting some reviews
and
out there.
And then they could read Las Vegas Turnaround, because this, I feel like, is
a companion piece
in that book, Las Vegas Turnaround and The Outlaw Shuffle. And I mean it most sincerely, remind me of Elmore Leonard novels.
Sure.
In that the story has to be absolutely wild. There has to be, you better have characters galore, and then you have a twist that you don't see coming. So congratulations.
Yeah. Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've got a sequel coming out for Las Vegas Turnaround.
Oh, you do?
Probably in about 3 or 4 or 5 months.
You're a lot of fun. I mean, are you having so much fun?
I'm having a gas.
Yeah, and it does seem, though, like, and we talk to a lot of authors, is that one of the things, by the time we talk to someone, the book is out, they're on their book tour, it's the book bird, like, they're so happy
to be done,
to give birth, with the writing and have it and kind of want to, like, enjoy it, because it does seem to, it's not like, you know, you write a book in 2 weeks.
No, but I enjoy the process of writing a book, and I like sitting down and writing every day.
You do? Do you have a spot?
It varies. I got an office at home, and, you know,
can you write in an RV? Can you write when you're traveling? No, that environment.
No, but it was a good time to plan, so we were, 2 weeks. Actually, the next book I'm writing is going to be with Stephanie, and it's going to be a... It's going to involve cooking and romance and travel to Croatia.
Oh!
And it's with Stephanie, so she's going to put some of her recipes in there. It's going to be a little romance, so I've been reading some romances.
Are you two the most accomplished people we know?
It doesn't stop. God. You never quit. Wait, what novels have you been reading, romance novels, to get a little...
Oh, I read that Lizzie and Dante I think you guys liked. Yeah. And then right now I'm on... Amy Tan's book. It's not really a romance, and it's not really about cooking, but it's called The Cooking God's Wife. Mm-hmm. But it's phenomenal. And then I read some other romances that I really can't remember because they were unremarkable.
Yeah. I'd like you to read The Gannon Sisters about these two identical twins. It's a book from 1987 or something.
Yesterday.
1979. Yeah. Just for some steamy stuff. Steamy stuff. Just to, like, let's hearken back to some of that late 70s writing that we had from Sidney Sheldon and whoever wrote the Gannon Sisters. Jackie Collins,
Those were our people.
Yeah. Okay.
But I want to know. You should ask
Coffee,
us more.
Coffee, tea, or me?
Yeah, we kind of. We just know. Okay, so what is your favorite? You're an author. What is kind of the best reaction you can get from someone who read your book?
Well, Lori gave me a great one that it was a page turner. If it's a page turner, I think that's a great compliment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great characters. I love that. Mm-hmm. And just if people love the book, because I really want to entertain people. I mean, that's my number one thing, is to entertain people. And for me, an entertaining book, every scene's got to be tight. Everything, something happens, and there's got to be plot twists. There's got to be great characters and interesting characters. And so, Page Turner, that's a great one.
And I asked Casey, because, he's a fan. Casey's like one of your early readers.
Yes.
No, because Casey came up to us like a month ago or something and was like, Kerr's book is so good. It's so good. You're going to be so thrilled. It's so good.
And I asked him, I said, Casey, what is it about The Outlaw Shuffle that you liked right away? And this was before I read it. And he just shook his head. And he said, you know how much I love characters in a book. And Kurt writes great characters.
He likes the quirky characters.
And even, he likes it if it's in historical fiction. I mean, put some let us visualize the person, feel
that
them.
Is the
right.
It's that's so the good. Beauty of
and,
reading.
And Casey's my canary in the coal mine.
Yeah.
Because he loved Las Vegas Turnaround. And then I had this other book called Toes, which is about hockey historical.
Yeah.
He couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
So I ditched that book
right
away.
You did. Look at that.
I love it. You've got one person.
I didn't show him The Barons because it was just going to be too weird for him.
I did show that to one of you guys,
and you gave me encouragement.
I read your book early.
Yeah.
That you had an editor who made you rewrite that book. And I read the first or second draft, and I thought I was blown away. And then you're like, well, by the time you read the, it's going to be like seven drafts later.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it fun not kind of, because you're doing this a little more solo with this book. Is it fun being your own person and not publisher, having to listen to everybody else?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to badmouth the...
No, of course not. You're not. You're not.
But when you do it yourself, I like designing my own cover. Mm-hmm. I like being able to do things myself. I'm kind of a DIY guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reality is the publishing world, unless you're a real big star, they don't put any marketing or publicity behind it. And then if you put your own marketing and publicity behind it, you pay for it.
Yes.
And they get credit.
And they get all the profits.
Okay, totally get it.
So it makes sense. You know, nowadays, I would say anywhere from 20 to 40% of the best-selling thriller romance writers are all self-publishing this day, just because they can do it themselves and they can put that money in the pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can't tell you. We love the Outlaw Shuffle.
Sure.
People get it right now on Amazon. And if you're a Kindle reader, it's just 99 cents.
So good.
99 cents.
Go get it. Right.
It's going to be a
for
rainy weekend.
For 30 days
weekend.
Only, yeah.
It's going to be a rainy weekend. So you don't want to clean closets all weekend.
No.
Cozy up with the brush.
I know it, right? And we've got two copies to give away if you give us a buzz at 651-641-1071. Grant will get your information.
Kurt, thank you.
We're so excited
thank
for you.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you and Stephanie writing a romance novel. Oh, I can't.
I heard it here first.
Right? I can't wait.
Yes, and it's set in Croatia.
Oh, that's amazing.
Beautiful island in the middle of nowhere called Lastovo.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That's so fun. You guys, good for you. All right, we're going to take a quick...
But I want you to write the sex scenes. I'm going to just say that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I won't let Stephanie edit them because she can be a little bit of a prude.
That's right. You write a good sex scene. I remember this about you.
I've known you guys for so long. I agree with Lori.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
We're really here, Grant. We're just having a long chat with Kurt Johnson.
I know. Who were our winners?
Our winners were Ellen and Lynn, and both Ellen and Lynn had some very nice things. Obviously, every time I get a chance to talk to a listener, they always tell me how much they love you guys. They're going to miss you guys, and I always just say, we're going to have a fun few months here. But so I just wanted to pass that nice message on from Ellen and Lynn. Both
Thank you. And we'll figure out how to get books and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to enjoy that.
You're going to enjoy the book. And the cover's so fun. And Kurt is so fun. And it's just fun seeing him light up over.
Okay.
All right. Lori's done with that.
I'm dying to do something that you long for me to do. I rarely do.
Oh, you were going to let callers call?
Yes.
My God. We don't have that much time.
I know it. Okay. But
we only have 5 minutes.
Okay. Still. All right. Anyone who wore a black wedding dress to their wedding, please call Grant at 651-641-1071. People Magazine had a lovely story with Sarah Jessica Parker, who in 1997, when she married Matthew Broderick, wore a black wedding dress. And it was considered cutting edge, 97, and no one had ever done it. And I thought, wow, I got married in a black wedding dress when I married Casey. I got married in the Richard Tyler black dress that Julia's ex-husband talked me into buying because it was $3,500 marked down to $750.
Something like that. And he goes, buy it.
I said, Bill, what should I do? I knew you would tell me not to buy it.
I'm so conservative.
And Bill answers the phone and I said, it's marked down for it at Nordstrom. And Richard Tyler in 90, I bought it in January of 98.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And ended up getting married in it in May of 98. And I said, where will I wear it? And he goes, maybe you'll go to the Academy Awards or maybe you'll get married. It would be your third wedding after all.
The guy, the salesperson
no,
said this
No, your ex-husband.
Oh, yeah, Bill did. Yeah. We didn't even have this job or anything.
Yeah.
He really.
And so I just was shaking and walked to, you know. And I bought it. I bought it with no occasion, Grant. And I was single.
You were.
And I was like kind of proud of myself because for my first two marriages, I did a lot of hiding
money
receipts
and shopping. It continued.
But I was free and single and everything like that. And it was just, and I ended up getting married in that dress at the courthouse. And Sarah Jessica got married in a black dress. And Jasmine, our hair girl, she got married in a black velvet dress. So I wonder how many people might have gotten married in a black dress. Probably more. More than we know.
I don't know.
Anyway, but she regrets it, Sarah Jessica Parker. She felt she couldn't wear white because it was a Monday night.
Matthew,
you know, he killed two people in a drunken automobile accident. They did not want to draw attention.
Yep. In Ireland.
Wedding.
Yep.
They weren't dating at the time. He was dating
Jennifer Grey.
Yeah. And
from Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. And she just said, I was too embarrassed to get white. We didn't want people paying attention to us. And she was really the first celebrity that we saw get married in black. And other people started doing it afterwards. And then she had blue shoes. But she told Andy Cohen, like 5 years ago, that she regrets it.
Yeah.
She said, I wish I'd just worn a beautiful white dress.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought I should be diminished on the one day that you can
you're supposed to be celebrated.
Yeah, but anyway.
That was a big dark cloud, though, over Matthew Broderick and over that. And I can understand her wanting to.
But it had been like maybe
5 years.
Quite a while, quite a while. But anyway, and I remember thinking when Casey asked me to marry him, and I thought, what? I can't. I got to buy a dress. And I thought, no, I bought that dress.
Yes.
It's so beautiful, Grant.
Ah. When is the last time you wore it?
I tried it on like a year ago, and it still fit.
Of course it does. I was so grateful. Of course it does.
But I was worried, you know, things shift and shape.
You and your Pilates body, you know, you don't have any Pagne d'Amour anymore.
But anyway.
Is anyone calling? I didn't think so.
No. See, maybe not that many people get married in black wedding dresses.
Well, I was a bridesmaid in black bridesmaid dress to Casey, who she married in her black dress.
In the 80s.
Ex-wife.
That was pretty ahead.
Oh, it was way ahead.
Did you have a bow on it? Because it was the 80s. Anywhere was there a bow?
I had such big boobs at the time, and it had a huge cutout circle in the back.
A keyhole?
No, it was huge. It was a circle. The whole back was open. And I couldn't figure out how to get her bra. So I would just sit and bemoan, how am I going to get my boobs in this thing? Where's the bra?
What kind of a boulder? Over the shoulder holder bolster, whatever.
I looked so many places and tried on so many bras.
In the 80s, they didn't have I don't even know, maybe convertible bras were just coming out.
They didn't
have
any. Very few. Yeah. It was a stressful time because I'm like, oh, I've got the biggest boobs in America.
And that really is, that is just one of the things about, you know, I don't know if it's like in the stars or what. But why are there so many tragically unattractive?
We've got one person and we have 1 minute. Hello, you're on My Talk.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Nobody was calling in about the black wedding dress.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Did you wear one?
My job, no. I got married 32 years ago and was pressured to wear white. But anyway, my daughter got married in October and wore a black dress and it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh, lovely. And white
on the river in Hastings, and then the fall color, the black dress was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And was it something that she always wanted?
I think so. She's a rather pale girl.
Okay.
In her words, pasty. But
black looks great on her.
Yeah, she tried on white dresses, and it didn't. It just didn't work.
I love it.
Yeah, it was great, and when we were looking,
we're going to get cut off from you.
There wasn't a lot out there.
No, we're going to get cut off.
It's on trend.
It is.
It's becoming a thing.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Heather.
All right, we'll be right back.
Thank you. Bye.